This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for Money, Riches, and Wealth. Here's your host, Drew Tignanelli.
And this is Drew Tignanelli here with Money, Riches, and Wealth. Christopher John O'Shea, my co-host tonight. Chris, how are you?
Andrew, I'm great. I'm even doing better now because I got to view something, listen to something that the audience doesn't get to.
Which is?
That you get to, you were singing along to the music prior to us going live.
There you go.
So it's a great
night. Maybe we could do that later for you, Chris, on the air. Anyway, we've got a guest with us tonight, Christopher. We've got Ronnie Pacino from PB Mayers, who's a CPA. And tonight we're going to talk about a really fascinating topic and the new tax law. Yep. Ronnie, how are you?
I am well. Thank you for having me. And I can guarantee you that I will not sing on the air.
There you go. Well, we appreciate that too, Ronnie. And they will appreciate me not singing on the air too. But anyway, tonight we will take some calls, but we will only take calls tonight from business owners, because tonight we're going to focus on the new Tax Cuts and Jobs Act rule called Qualified Business Income Deduction, and how it operates and how it works. And the key takeaway to this, and Ronnie, you tell me if I'm off on this, is that this thing is so ridiculously complicated that if you think there's a magic bullet that I do this, you know, a lot of times it's easy to say, I just want to reduce income. If I reduce income, then I'm going to get more of this deduction. In this law, you could reduce income and hurt yourself. You could increase income and help yourself. You could take a mortgage deduction and help yourself. You could take a mortgage or a charitable deduction and hurt yourself. You could take a giant Section 179 deduction and clobber yourself. You could take a Section 179 deduction and credibly benefit yourself. And you're sitting there saying, well, what do I do? And the answer is, nobody knows. Right, Ronnie?
The answer is it depends.
It depends in a big time.
There's only one thing that I can remember in all my years of doing taxes that was a definite yes or no. And that was when, I think it was the Tax Reform Act of 86. We're talking about a long time ago.
Yeah.
Where everybody could do an IRA. There was no income limitation. And if you didn't do an IRA back then, it was just wrong because everybody got a deduction for
it. It was only $2,000
right.
That you could do. So a lot of people could do it. Right. But anybody could do it. Warren Buffett could do it. I could do it. You could do it. Anybody. It didn't matter.
Right. And that's the only thing that I've ever seen that was an absolute. This is definitely it depends.
It depends big time. And there's lots of rules. And so we want to make that clear to business owners how complicated this is and how important it's going to be to do your tax planning. And this is not something that you can wait until March and decide on of 2019. You've got to be planning in July and September and December of 2018, or you're going to hurt yourself.
Well, especially if your income is higher.
Especially if your income. So let's go through some of that stuff, Ronnie.
So the most important thing that the takeaway from today is for sure you have to do planning. And some of the things that we're going to talk about, the planning things, have to be done before December 31st. So it's exactly like you said. You cannot wait until February or March and decide, for example, how much am I going to put in my deferred benefit plan or my profit sharing plan. You have to have these things decided before the end of the year because they're going to affect that QBI. And
yeah.
QBI is a huge number. It's 20%. Or possibly 20% of your qualified business income.
Yeah, so if you've got a company out there and you're a small business contractor, let's say, and you're making $200,000 or $300,000 a year, it could be $40,000 to $60,000 in tax deductions. And if you do it wrong, you could lose all of it or a large portion of it.
That's absolutely correct.
So here are the key numbers, Ronnie, right? You tell us. The key number for this starts with, and it depends on whether you're single or married.
That's correct. So the key number here is all based on taxable income. Most deductions and most things that you've ever seen in the tax code are based on adjusted gross income, modified adjusted gross income, but the limits here are based on actual taxable income.
So explain that, because you and I just, and Chris, all understood what you just said, but our typical listener has no idea what adjusted gross income is or taxable income.
So for the adjusted gross income, for the most part, is basically all of your income. There's some deductions, but basically it's all of your income. Your taxable income is after you take all your itemized deductions and Well, there's no personal exemptions anymore, so it's after you take your itemized deductions, that's your taxable income. And that is the amount that the limits are based on. So the way the QBI works, or the qualified business income works, if no matter what type of a business you have, if you have married, if you're married filing joint and you have under $315,000 of taxable income, you will get a 20% deduction on your qualified business income.
Now let's define businesses too here. That's anybody who's filing a Schedule C or filing as an S corporation or an LLC, but it also includes real estate investors who file Schedule E.
That is correct. Well, the Schedule E is, it's debatable. We're assuming that it is because it doesn't say specifically not excluded, but in almost all other areas of law, they kind of carve out the real estate, but it's not carved out here. So we're assuming that those real estate Schedule E rentals, we're taking them as qualified business income.
Well, from what I understand, and matter of fact, in the last 2 weeks of this tax law being passed, one senator with a lot of real estate interest made sure that that was inputted into the tax law. So the way I understand it, real estate investors, you got a real estate investment and you're making $50,000 a year in net profit. Let's just use that, $50,000 a year in net profit. And their income's under $315,000 and $157,500 for single, they're going to get a 20%, $10,000 tax deduction on that real estate investment.
That is correct.
So, you know, this is getting, you know, this is just building as to how complicated this is. And but we have to take a first pause here, Ronnie, and then we're going to come back and start layering on top of this. So we've talked about 315 and 157 single, and married filing separate is also 157.5, and that's going to be a key ingredient when we come back. We got to talk about that. But right now, we got to take our pause. We'll be right back on Money, Riches, and Wealth.
This is Drew Tignanelli, host of Money, Riches, and Wealth, and president of the Financial Consulate. Many of you listened to our show for years and thought about coming to meet with us. With every financial physical I do, I wish you would not wait any longer. The mistakes I consistently see are frustrating. I make this offer. Just do a financial physical, and we'll do the complete analysis in two meetings, and you get to go home with the full plan to determine if the physical was worth the cost. If not, absolutely no charge. We do not sell products. We are comprehensive advisors. If your personal finances are in good shape and we add no value, then the financial physical is free. Do not wait. Get a second opinion and just do a financial physical. I am confident you are going to experience something unique and change your tax plan, your retirement plan, your investments, and much more. Call 410-823-SAVE, 410-823-SAVE to schedule your physical. Or go online to DrewTig.com. That's DrewTig.com.
Yeah. That's what I...
So we're back, Money, Riches, and Wealth. And that was Chris getting a head start on us on the show. Qualified business income deduction, that's what we're talking about. We will take calls from business owners. That's the only topic we'll talk about tonight, qualified business income deduction. So if a business owner wants to call in and ask a question, 410-922-6680. Because this, as Ronnie said earlier, this is a big deduction, 20% of your income, and if you miss it, you're going to miss it in a big way. So, Ronnie, okay, 315 married, 157.5 single or married filing separate, those are the key numbers where all of a sudden a form of phase-out happens. Now, explain the next step. Now, 315 to 415 is the next step. So what happens there?
So if you're over, if you're between 315 and 415, then you have, there's certain phase outs of the actual deduction. So you would take, you would calculate what your deduction is, and then you would take a percentage of the amount that's over of that over that $100,000.
Before you do that, there's another step we have to do. We have to determine what kind of business it is.
That's
correct.
So
let's do that first.
Okay. So if you are a...
This is
going to be complicated.
This is ridiculous, but go ahead. So this just says how complicated it is. You and I are out.
Right. So if you're what's called a specified service trade or business, which is basically the old personal service companies, if you're a doctor, a lawyer, an architect, an engineer...
CPAs, financial advisors, we're all out.
We're all out.
So if our income is over 315 to 415.
So theoretically, the way it works is if we're over 415, we don't get anything.
Period.
And if you're a company even if you're not a service company and you don't have wages, you're out if you're over the limit. So if you're over the 315, then there's complicated calculations based on you get to take a 20% deduction on some of your wages, or I'm sorry, you get 50% of your qualified W-2 wages, and then you have a calculation on 2.5% of your qualified property, depreciable property, and there's a calculation that you have to make. And once you make that calculation, you compare that number to 20% of the qualified business income, and you get the, I believe it's the greater of those two numbers.
So, you know, the...
Just to step back just for a second, though, just to clarify, this is for basically all businesses except C-Corps.
That is correct.
The
C-Corp, this is for pass-through entity business.
Right.
It would be a sole proprietor, a real estate investor, an LLC, a partnership, or an S-corporation. These are pass-through entities where the income is taxable to the owners of the business, as opposed to a C-Corp, where the taxation goes to the corporation itself.
Yep.
Which, the reason they did this was because they reduced the C-Corp rate down to 21%,
sure.
And there were too many politicians that saying, I ain't passing a C-Corp tax rate down to 21% unless my small business owners, the pass-through companies, get something. And this is the bone they threw us, Ronnie.
Well, the idea was that they wanted the business income portion of your personal 1040 tax return to be taxed at that lower rate, similar to what they did many years ago with capital gains, where if you have capital gains, you're taxed at a certain rate, a lower rate than you are regular income. And that's what they tried to do, but they did it in such a complicated way that we have to do these calculations.
Right. But now you just mentioned a second ago that if you don't have W-2 wages, you're out if you're over 415. But here's the fascinating thing, Ronnie. I got an S corporation, and I have, you know, if I have a partnership and I have no wages, it's just me and another partner, we could flip our company to an S corp and all of a sudden lock in a bunch of deduction, right?
That is correct, and that's one of the planning tools that you have to do, what we were talking about earlier, but you have to do it before the end of the year, actually sooner.
Yeah, we
got to
get the wages in.
So if you have the same income in a partnership and now you're in the S corporation world, then you can give yourself wages, because a partner can't take wages by the code.
Right.
And you can take wages, and then you will have a deduction based on that 25% rule with the 2.5% rule with the property.
And before our partnership people out there start flipping their companies to S-Corps because they want to make sure they got wages, they got to go back to that first point, was, are you a specified service business or not? Are you a doctor, lawyer, CPA, you know, real estate agent? You're not going to get this. You're not getting this deduction.
That's right. If you're a doctor and you're a partnership and you're making $500,000, it doesn't really matter, because you're not getting that deduction no matter how many wages you have.
Unless he can figure out how to drop that $500,000 income way down to $350, under $315, if he can. There's things he can do.
Right. That's correct. That's all part of the planning we're talking about.
Retirement plan.
Yep. Hold on a second. We got a caller. We might as well get our callers in as they come in. Earl, how can we help you?
Yeah, how you doing today?
Great, and you?
Great. Thanks for taking my call. I have a question about, I do have a partnership, and we did convert to an S-Corp before the close of last year, apparently to lock in a specific rate so it wouldn't change. I guess there was some sort of change, obviously, in the laws. My question would be, like last year we took bonuses, and we weren't really sure if we should have rolled our capital into the following year or how that's going to reflect on our income, because...
Well, obviously, if you took bonuses last year, you probably would have wanted them to go into 18, but then you could have had a reverse negative impact going into 18, depending on whether you're a specified... What kind of business in general are you?
HVAC.
Okay, so they get the deduction as long as he's got wages of his employees.
Do.
So,
yep.
And I don't know what he meant by it. You know anything of the tax laws that could have made him want to switch to an S-Corp that he figured he needed to do for something? What were you? What kind of business entity?
It was locking the the rate in which they tax you on?
Yeah, you were getting, because you were a partnership before, right?
Correct.
So you were paying the full Medicare tax all the way up to unlimited income that you made in your partnership. In the S-Corp, you're going to be limited to only the wages that you actually take.
Okay.
So, you know, he's got great opportunity, planning opportunity. What type of income range would you put your business at that you and you have a partner, right?
Yeah.
So what kind of income do you get thrown off from that business every year?
Are you talking about wages income or total?
Well, give us total wages and business income that you get. What's
total,
wages?
Total, like each owner probably grosses $150, and then the at the end of the year we're probably leaving some cash in and bonusing ourselves, you know, because we want to continue to make the business look profitable, obviously, for future sale. But we want to, you know, we take, I don't know, anywhere from 30 to 60 each.
Yeah.
At the end of the year.
Right. So you're going to take that as an S-Corp dividend now.
Right. The problem is that, you know, because we are my side of the business, my wife makes pretty good money. So, you know, we're right around the 3 mark.
So
that's what I don't know. Do we keep it lower and just roll the asset into the following year and not? You know, where would the benefit be?
It depends on his situation. He's going to really have to look at this on a regular basis.
Right. You're going to have to do some planning, but what I would suggest is whatever the salaries that you're taking for operating the company, the owners, that should be it.
Yeah.
If you're doing bonuses at the end of the year, they should not be salaried bonuses, because that's going to reduce any QBI that you have in the company itself, that whatever gets passed through to you. So the more salaries you have to yourselves, it's going to reduce that. So you'd have to do some planning.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then they
should probably make sure that the owners aren't taking salaries of $150 unless that's what they absolutely have to, but that's what their services to the business are really worth. But if they could argue those services are only worth $125, they'd probably even want to reduce their salaries now that they're an S Corp.
That's correct. And what you were saying, that you make about $300,000, that's your gross. We have to look at your
taxable. Do you have
income.
A mortgage? Do you do a lot of charity, things like that?
Yeah, I mean, we have a mortgage.
Okay.
But though on my side, you know, my personal side of that business, we also have some rentals. So.
Yeah, well, those are all going to be complicated. And if you don't think this out, Earl, you're going to lose the 20% deduction on your rentals possibly. Now, and that also is you have to take all the QBIs individually, and then you got to lump them together when you go to get your deduction. So if he's getting losses on the real estate, aren't they being lumped together? Isn't that how they do it?
I'm not sure about that.
Yes. Yes.
Well, what they do is the 20% from each one is calculated, but then they ultimately lump your deduction in at the end.
That's correct. Because
that's
correct.
The point, that right. Losing real estate could actually be a negative to this.
That is correct.
Right.
So you're going to need a really good tax planner there, Earl.
Yes. And the last question that I had is, Will, does it make sense to lower our income, just our general weekly salary income, and then roll it into the next year?
No.
How do you take it?
No, what you're going to do is you're taking an S-Corp dividend. As Ronnie was saying earlier, you're not taking salaries. You're not taking bonuses. You're taking an S-Corp dividend. You're going to pay taxes on that money, Earl, regardless how you take it. And you can't roll that income into the next year unless you use some type of Section 179 deduction, possibly. You can take a big deduction 1 year and then have the income come to you the year after. But there's a lot of complications in this. There's no easy answer, And don't assume your tax preparer is going to help you with this. Make sure you find somebody that can help you through this process on a day-to-day, month-to-month basis. But I got to run, Earl. I got to go.
All right. Well, look, thank you very much.
Chris is going to get after me. I got to take a pause, and I'll be back in a minute. All right, we're back. Money, Riches, and Wealth. I'm here with Ronnie Pacino from PB Mayers here in Baltimore. They're a big regional CPA firm. We're talking about a fascinating topic, qualified business income deduction, Section 199A for you nerds in the CPA world like myself that love those numbers, you know, like Section 72T and Section 109A, all those kind of cool things. You remember all these code numbers, you know, and it's just really cool stuff, you know?
Yeah.
Walter Nunnally talks about that all the time, right?
Sure.
Anyway, we're talking this QBI and how it works, but we have a caller online, so we'll go to Nathan in Pikesville. Nathan, how can we help you?
Hi, I was just wondering, I think it's a quick question, about a business I'm starting with a partner, selling products on Amazon.
Okay. And selling products on Amazon would not be a qualified service business. Would you agree, Ronnie?
That's correct.
So as long as your income, okay, go ahead.
Okay, so I mean, as far as you know, setting it up, but we set up as an LLC. I was wondering if there was any benefit of, you know, electing the S.
How much do you think you're going to make in the first year?
We'll probably gross, you know, around 20,000 or 30,000 in the first year.
Yeah. So yeah, being a partnership's your easiest way to go. Just stick with the simple entity. And you're going to still get the 20% business deduction unless you have a spouse that's making a huge amount of money.
Okay.
So you'll get the deduction, my friend.
Sounds good. Thanks a lot.
All right. That was an easy one.
That was simple.
Yeah, you know, you get these people out there, they're starting a business, they make $30,000, $40,000. They're going to get a 20% deduction, $6,000, $7,000, $8,000. That's pretty cool. Okay, Ronnie, we're building on this. So we got the qualified service business, and then we've got the non-qualified service business. And if you're over 415, you're out. If you're a doctor, a CPA, a real estate agent, a financial advisor. But if you're not, you're a contractor, an HVAC guy is the guy called in. You're still in, but you have to have the wages. What's the other rule?
You have to have the wages, and you have to have property.
Or there's two of them, right? You got the 50% of wages,
right.
Or you have 20% of wages
and 2.5% of your qualified property.
Yeah. Now explain that one. Qualified property.
Well, as far as I understand it, you take
the reason
cost.
You say that you understand it is because this is new stuff.
It's new stuff. I don't mean controversial.
Nobody knows.
It's not clear in the law whether it's talking about book value or cost. We're assuming for right now that it's talking about 2.5% of the cost of a property.
Original cost.
Not the fully depreciated cost.
Right.
Correct.
So if you take 2.5% of your cost and you take 25% of your qualified wages, you compare that to 50% of your qualified wages, and whichever one of those is higher, you compare that to the 20% of the QBI, and you get to take the lower of.
Yeah. So now let's, you know, I was saying real estate agents are out if they are considered qualified service business. But let's say you just got a guy that they're listening and he's got a couple $1 million worth of real estate investments and he's making $200,000 a year from that real estate investment. In his total income between he and his spouse are over $415,000. He's still going to get the deduction if
he's got qualified wages and or the property. Though now he will own the property, so we can take the 2.5% of the property, compare that to the wages. He probably does not have wages if he's only owning real estate as rental properties on Schedule E. So he's going to have to take he's going to be limited probably to the 2.5% of the value of that property.
And it's very important that he knows, well, what is the cost basis, the original cost basis of that property? What is 2.5%? And if he has people that are working for him, but he pays them as 1099,
he may
want to think about switching them to employees in some situations.
That's correct, because the employee is not going to like that so much, but he will get the QBI.
He'll get the QBI. Whether they like it or not, if they want to keep that income, they're going to have to just abide to what that person wants to do. This is why all the rules are flip-flopping. Everything's flip-flopping. I'll give you a good one. I had a client that had huge income from his business, contractor, big income. And he had some insurance agents come in and say, you need to be doing a cash balance plan. And he'd been doing a cash balance plan. He was deferring $150,000 a year in this cash balance plan. Well, now all of a sudden this tax law comes in, and I go to him and I say, well, wait a minute. This cash balance plan doesn't make any sense for you anymore. And, you know, they all had to agree that what used to be the rule, defer, 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 no longer made sense, because he was then taking $150,000 out of his qualified business income that he was going to get a 20% tax-free deduction on, and he was going to lose that on it. It would have actually hurt him to defer that income into the future, where he would have paid maximum tax rates on it in the future.
For these next 8 years.
Well, no, for forever, because no. Once he deferred that in there, Chris, he would, well, for the next 8 years, that cash balance plan makes no sense with this QBI thing.
Right.
That's what you're saying.
Right.
And that goes back to what we said when we first started the program, that it's all about planning. And
all
not
about
everything is going to work for every person. There's no cookie cutter. But what you have to understand, and I think what the callers, the listeners need to understand, is that this is based on the net income of that entity, whatever it is, if it's a real estate, if it's a Schedule E, if it's a partnership, it's not on the gross, it's on the net income. So if the company's not making money and you're getting passed through a loss, there's no deduction.
Yeah.
It's only if you're having income. A lot of real estate, unless you've owned it for a long time, does not really show as a positive number on a Schedule E because of the depreciation.
Right.
So if you're in that, if you're in the stage where you actually have income on your Schedule E, that's when you'll get the deduction. People have to understand it's not the gross amount, it's the net amount.
So let's say you got a doctor client, and let's say he has an office building worth $2 million that he works out of, and he makes $1 million a year in his doctor practice, okay? And the building is owned inside of his LLC that his doctor practice is in. You're going to want to separate that real estate now, because he'll get that deduction for the real estate as long as he has 2.5% of qualified business property or qualified property, right?
That is correct.
And he won't get it if it's inside of his business, because the business is a specified service business. This is how ridiculous this is getting.
And that's true. Now, you probably should have not, even before this law, had your real estate in the same entity that you're having the operating income.
But it happens.
But if it happens, and if you do, for sure, that is one of the planning methods that you can turn some of the income from the specified business into something that would qualify as a qualified business.
Located equipment in his business. He might want to take that equipment, that is sophisticated equipment, move it into an LLC that he leases it back to his dental business, and now that leasing business would get the deduction, wouldn't it?
That is true.
This is the kind of crazy stuff that's going to happen under this tax
law.
Great
things for planners. Drew, before you take your break, I know you've got to take one. It's also interesting for the tax nerds out there that the amount that this is at, the 315 a phase out, which is actually the very top of the 24% bracket for married filing joint.
That is correct. That is absolutely correct.
Well, some people are also suggesting, if you're in a private practice, a medical practice, to take the non-doctors and put them into another entity and have like a staffing company, because that staffing company may be subject to the QBI.
Anyway, we got to take our pause with traffic. We're going to be right back. Money, Riches, and Wealth.
This is Drew Tignanelli, host of Money, Riches, and Wealth, and president of the Financial Consulate. One of the missions of our company is to create a model of the professional advisory firm. We do the radio show to demonstrate what we believe a true professional should be. Your financial advisor should be able to demonstrate the same depth of personal financial knowledge as we do on our radio show. If not, then you need a new advisor. For investments can easily be duplicated, but comprehensive knowledge takes years of learning and experience. We trademarked the financial physical in 1990 and have been building this model for 27 years. If you wonder if we are different, then just do a financial physical and see for yourself. The complete plan is free to you if our comprehensive planning does not prove to be overwhelmingly beneficial. This is how confident we are. Call 410-823-SAVE. That's 410-823-SAVE to learn more, or go online at DrewTigg.com. That's DrewTigg.com.
So we're here, Money, Riches, and Wealth with Ronnie Pacino. He's a CPA with PB Mayers, and we're talking about the qualified business income deduction, which is part of the new Tax Act and Jobs Act. And Ronnie, this only lasts for 7 years.
Well, they have a sunset, but we'll see what they do.
You know that it's the, you know as well as I do, unless the Republicans remain control of everything, that there's going to be a lot of pressure to get rid of a lot of the Tax Act and Jobs Act.
That is true. That's just the way it is.
That's just the way it is, you know. Just like the Republicans are after the ACA, the Affordable Care Act, try to figure out every way they can get rid of it.
You were just talking about volleyball, so there it is. It goes, the ball just keeps getting battered back and forth.
Battered back and forth. But anyway, we've got a really complicated thing. I mean, there's no way that you or I could sit here and say, if you're a business owner, this is what you got to be doing.
It's like I said before, it depends.
And, you know, and here's the point I want to make, Ronnie, is that I see a lot of people that are doing business tax returns. Now, your firm and a lot of firms out there, in the sense of the big regional firms, the big accounting firms, they're going to do a lot of this tax planning with their client. But there are a lot of just business tax preparers out there. And what's going to happen is a guy's going to come in March or April of next year, going to give them their tax information. The guy's going to do the return, tell them, and they're going to have no idea that they just lost a boatload of money because they didn't understand the rules. And the tax preparer is not going to tell them.
Right. Not only will they not know that they lost money, they won't, that they could have had some type of deduction, they won't even know that there was the deduction to get.
They wouldn't even know it, right. And, you know, we do about 100 financial physicals a year, 100 financial physicals. And nothing frustrates me more than when they come in with their tax return and I look at it and I see immediately that if they would have just made this little move, it would have made a big difference on their tax return. And now I'm just expected to get incredibly frustrated over the next 3 or 4 years.
Well, I have the same issue. I get a new client, and I look at their tax returns from the prior year, the prior accountant, and I don't know what they did.
Yeah.
What were they thinking when they did these things?
Most business owners especially don't want to, you know, be given their information to their accountant during the year. They only want to go at the end of the year and give them their tax information. Well, at least the next 7 years, you cannot do that. You got to have an advocate on your side.
I think that's more of a relationship type of issue. I have a good relationship with every one of my clients, or I think I do, and I talk to them all the time. I'm talking to them monthly, quarterly.
But what do you have, 50?
50, maybe. Well, from corporations and things like that, maybe 50 or so.
And how many of those are pass-through entities? 30, 40?
I only have one non-pass-through entity.
Okay, so you've got 49 clients, right. You know? But there's a lot of tax guys out there that are just preparing tax returns, and they might do 100 or 200 business owners at the end of the year. I see it all the time. Mm-hmm. But those people are not going to be doing tax planning for these people for qualified business income.
Well, they're not doing it for anything, but especially for that.
Yeah.
Probably some of those preparers might not even understand the way it works.
Yeah, you know, and you know what's really funny is that a guy who's totally debt-free, he may want to go and sell his house and buy a new house and take a new mortgage out on it because that could be the difference for him to make a incredible deduction on his tax return.
That's true. And now that they have no more miscellaneous itemized deductions and no personal exemptions, the only thing you have is interest, $10,000 worth of property taxes or property slash income taxes and contributions.
Yeah. But this 20% of business income is not only do you get the 20% business income, but you also have to meet 20% of your taxable income. Now here, watch this. So you got a guy that makes $200,000 a year and it's almost all from his self-employed business. Okay, sole proprietor. Doesn't matter what kind of business he is because he's under the 315, he's married. Total family income is almost all generated from that business. But then he takes takes his mortgage deduction, it takes his charitable deduction, it takes his $10,000, and next thing you know, his taxable income is down to $150,000, and he's going to get 20% of $150,000, not 20% of $200,000 deduction. If he would have done a $50,000 Roth conversion, he might actually dramatically benefit himself from that weird little scenario. But if he would never know about it if he just go into a tax preparer at the end of the year.
And that's another thing that if you're going to do that, you have to do that before the end of the year.
You have to do these things. There are some weird things that you may be able to do somebody in March or April. You might be able to find somebody who hasn't done a SEP IRA, and we got to get his income down a little to get the benefit of the... But, you know...
Yes, if you take it, the Roth conversion up to the 315, you're increasing your QBI, and then you're also taking advantage of that level. That last $82,000 up to 315 is a 9% marginal tax deduction or lesser rate than last year.
Yeah. Somebody with business income is typically going to go from a 37, is that it? The rate's just 37?
Right.
So you're going from a 37% rate all the way down to a 29.3 or 7% rate.
29.7.
And what business owner who's in the highest tax bracket is going to ever see a 29.7 bracket again? This is an incredible opportunity that's going to be lost to a lot of business owners because they don't know about it and don't know the complexity of it.
And it all comes down to planning. You have to talk to your tax preparer, whether they're one of these fly-by-nights that doesn't really know how to do it. You have to talk to them. If you're not satisfied, you have to find yourself a competent tax preparer.
Yeah, you know, our company is doing this for our business owners. We're meeting with them all throughout the year saying, okay, let's make sure where we are. You're probably doing that with your 50 clients. You know, you're probably sitting, and all the guys in your office are probably doing that, because the last thing you want is a business owner coming back to you in 2019 and say, hey, Drew Tignanelli looked at my tax return and told me that you cost me $82,000 because you didn't tell me this and that.
Every one of we have 9 offices. Every one of our offices is doing a QBI seminar.
You gave me this little nice worksheet here.
Besides, every one of our offices is doing an actual QBI seminar where we're bringing in our clients to our office or to a location where we're just going to do a talking about the new plan and how we can help them with their QBI.
Yeah, it's incredibly important. This is so, you know, an unusual deduction, because it can go either way. You either have to increase income or decrease income. You either have to increase expenses or decrease expenses. The old days of taking the Section 179 for buying a really expensive vehicle are gone. You know, you might have to rethink that all.
All the depreciation options you're going to have to think about every year now, whether it's bonus, 179, because you can opt out, and you're going to have to decide what you want to do on a year-by-year basis.
Yeah. We're out of time already, because 199A, QBI, Qualified Business Income, is so fascinating a topic that when you get rolling on it, time just flies.
Well, as you can say, the complexity is the Full Employment Act for advisors and CPAs.
Right? Ronnie Pacino with PB Mayors here in Baltimore. Tell everybody real quick how to get in touch with you.
410-659-6200 or rhpacino@pbmayors.com.
Always give the number out twice.
659-6200.
There we go. This is Drew Tignanelli saying God bless.